Today, we're going to talk about a subject that might make you a little nervous. We're going to talk today about discrimination. Yes, sir. Do I have your attention?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, you may be thinking immediately that we're talking about social discrimination and injustice and prejudice and bigotry. And those are definitely things that result from what I really want to talk to you about. I really want to get more into the basics of discrimination on a personal level. Are you willing to go there with me?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'll tell you what our text will be, even though we're not going to go there right away. The text will be Mark. We're still learning from Mark, by the way. Chapter 12 this time, verses 28 through 34, and also 38 through 40. Amen. What are we talking about today?
Discrimination.
Amen. Now let's do something. Let's go to our text real quick. We're just going to do a part of it. And we're going to read chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. And we're going to see here where Jesus is talking about the scribes. How many of you know Jesus had some enemies? He had some folks that he had some negative things to say about, right? Now, would you say that Jesus hates all scribes?
No.
Would you say that Jesus believes that all scribes are bad?
No.
Let's see what he has to say in 38 through 40 of chapter 12 in the book of Mark. It reads, "And he said unto them in his doctrine," meaning his teaching, "beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing," their robes he's talking about, "and love salutations," meaning greetings in the market, like the big man on campus. "And the chief seats," they like the best seats in the synagogue, "and the uppermost rooms at feasts," meaning the best seats in the house, "which devour widows' houses." Basically, they take advantage of them and make whatever little that they have turn into nothing, make them poor. "For pretense, they also make long prayers." This is the description he's giving about the scribes. "These," what does he say? "Shall receive greater damnation." Now, as you read that, you could read that two ways. You could read that as an indictment on all scribes. That's how we mostly read it. You could also read it, if you choose to, as his indictment on certain scribes, but we tend to read it as all scribes. Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, right? That's what Jesus says. And so it's very easy to paint them with a very broad brush. It might be a little bit different from what you think, and yet I am telling you that what we are going to learn today, because we want to get better, right? Do we want to get better? Seriously, do you want to get better?
Yes.
Can lead to the monster that we think of when we use the term discrimination. So let's define discrimination. Can you go there with me? Amen. This is according to Merriam-Webster. First of all, discrimination is the act of discriminating. That's pretty easy, right? Pretty straightforward, the act of discriminating. But going further into the definition, be very thoughtful as we talk about this. It is the process by which two stimuli, two sources of stimulus, despite having things in common, these two stimuli differing in certain aspects provide a different response. So we're talking about discrimination being the process by which two different stimuli, differing in some aspects, although having certain similarities, actually cause a different response. We're talking about discrimination. Now, if I walk over here to Brother Lee, and I do like this, that looks like I'm saying hello, right? You're not threatened by that. That doesn't bother you, right? And yet, if I just change a little bit the cadence, or if I make it a little bit sharper, all of a sudden he might, if he didn't know me. As a matter of fact, his eyes already started to change. He didn't even notice that. It's just amazing. I'm up here. I'm Pastor Morris, right? There's all sorts of people here, you know. And yet his demeanor changed just at the fact that somebody's up in his face coming at him like that. His instincts kicked in. Even though he knows he's part of a demonstration, I'm watching him. And I'm doing this, and there was no problem. And I did this, and I'm demonstrating, and his eyes changed. His eyes changed. The point here is discrimination is the ability to distinguish the difference. So he had to look at me, and he had to process. His knee-jerk reaction couldn't be his only reaction. He had to process. This is Pastor Morris. He's preaching a sermon. He is trying to teach us. He loves me. He is not going to hit me. But that's different. It's very similar. I am black. I am a black man. I am in his face. Now, he's got to factor in some things in order to not take this the wrong way. Right? If I do this, he has every reason to say, whoa, 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 whoa. But it's very similar to this. Now, if he's judging me superficially, he may very well have the wrong reaction. Amen? So we're talking about discrimination. Now, this is not what you imagine as the definition for discrimination. And yet, if you look it up, this is what you'll find as the first definition. Discrimination. Amen? Going further, it is the quality or the power of finely distinguishing the details. Just like an appraiser of art can notice the subtleties to tell you that it's a fake or not. So it is the quality or the power of finely, F-I-N-E-L-Y, not finally, finely distinguishing. So what do you learn from this definition that might be different from what you thought? It is starting to sound to you like it's not automatically bad. Discrimination is not automatically bad. We make it bad. Discrimination is not doesn't start out as a bad thing, but we can take it and make it into some kind of devilish stuff, can we? Now, further defined, we'll get into the definitions that we tend to think of automatically. The act or the practice of, or an instance of discriminating what? Categorically rather than individually. If you discriminate categorically, meaning you look at people in categories, now that causes harmful hurt to people, communities, and even to this world, rather than discriminating individually. Amen? And so we get further to the definitions that we are very used to, prejudiced or prejudicial outlook or actions or treatments. Amen? Amen? So the problem comes in when we attach negative thoughts, negative imagery and meaning to things, and then generalizing it. The generalization is what hurts our society. If you react to a generalization, you're likely to mistreat that person. You're likely to misunderstand that person. You're likely to mislabel that person. Amen? And so it causes great harm in our society. So to discriminate is to recognize a distinction. Is it bad to recognize a distinction? No. No. And it comes from actually the Latin word that gives us our English word discern. Now, we know that discernment is not a bad thing, right? But discernment allows you to go beyond the surface and see into the real thing, the real characteristics of a person or a thing. Discernment is a good thing. You can look right past a person that looks okay, but you know they have a devil. They might say something that sounds good, but you know they're really a trickster. Discernment is not a bad thing. Discrimination, the ability to discriminate, is not a bad thing. It is the ability to differentiate between or to tell the difference. Amen?
Amen?
Not to lump things together or paint with a broad brush. So the irony is the bad stuff that we see that we think of as discrimination don't come from the ability of folks to paint a broad brush. And discrimination is not a bad thing. It comes from the unwillingness or the inability to actually discriminate properly. Amen? It doesn't come from a strength. It comes from a weakness, a failure to actually draw the distinction, a failure to see the difference between this one and that one, a failure to look past somebody's skin color, the failure to look past somebody tall, thinking they just all have to play basketball. It is the failure to discriminate that creates bigotry and racism and every other kind of bad ism. Amen? The failure to draw distinctions, the failure to actually tell the difference between me and somebody that means you bad. Amen?
Amen?
So if we fail to draw these distinctions, if we fail to have the quality or the power of the ability to actually do discrimination, meaning to discriminate, it leaves us with nothing but superficial generalizations. And this is what hurts us. We make judgments from these superficial generalizations, and those judgments cause you to view superficially, but the pain that you cause goes very deep. And I know we could be talking about this societally, but I want to engage you around the individual, personal version of discrimination. Amen?
Amen.
When we fail to go deeper, when we are finding ourselves being superficial and generalizing, we misjudge people, and it hurts our relationships. It hurts us in society. It causes you and others to lose opportunities. Amen?
Amen.
And so when we're talking about discriminating, it, just in case the other imagery doesn't help you, imagine a mop or a broom. How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference? They both have a handle, right? They both have a long piece of wood. How do you know the difference? You've got to look at the bottom. If you don't look at the bottom, a mop and a broom look exactly the same. You've got to be discriminating. It's not a bad thing to discriminate. It's not automatically bad. But when you take negative imagery and negative characteristics and you paint people or things with a broad brush, now you're going down a dangerous road. You know what BMWs look like, right? Pretty much. Until you get to the really big one, they all look alike. And actually, from some angles, they literally all look alike. You got to run around to the back to see what number is on the back. I go to the wrong car a lot because they look, you got to look, okay, which wheels do I have? You got to go around the back to be able to tell the difference sometime. This happened to me just the other day. So the point is you need to be discriminating. I would go to the right car if I paid closer attention. Amen? But you have a knee-jerk reaction, white BMW, go ahead and walk over to it. Well, we have knee-jerk reactions that are ingrained in us that affect our ability to deal, not just in society. I want to talk about individuals. We all, as individuals, make up society, but today we're talking about discrimination. God wants us to change on the inside. Now, some of us needed to forgive, probably all of us, but God decided that somebody needs to talk about or learn about or have the ability to change in terms of discriminating, being more discriminating, so that then you don't discriminate in a negative way. Look at people as individuals, because what we react to is our own generalizations that we don't even realize we had, and you hurt people. Look at people as individuals. Get to know somebody for real instead of having your little knee-jerk reactions. Have any of you ever been guilty of this? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, only one perfect person, two perfect people in here. Amen. Has anybody ever thought themselves or co-signed somebody saying all men are naturally cheaters? Anybody ever said or co-signed that all men are naturally cheaters? Now, wait a minute. First of all men are dogs, but then you back up. You say, well, that sounds too bad. Well, really, it's just not in their nature to be monogamous. That makes it sound better, right? It's just not in their nature to be monogamous. Now, that may sound innocent until you're in a relationship or you're dating somebody or you're married to somebody and then something happens and you start looking at them funny when they haven't done a thing. Or they may be planning something for you, some surprise for you, but you happen to be on the phone with all your girlfriends and they start talking in a way to make you start looking at him funny. They're talking in generalizations, and once you put that brush, that paint onto your husband or your boyfriend, now that's where the harm comes from. Amen? Sometimes in our homes we're taught that. We're taught that all men are cheaters, and then you go out there and that woman's whole life, that daughter's whole life is messed up because you taught her not to trust ultimately the one that was supposed to be their gift. Because they're what? Generalizing, not distinguishing, not differentiating, not discriminating. Well, this guy, he is a man, but there are other qualities about him I need to pay attention to, because if I don't, what I'm going to do is I'm only going to listen to the one thing that reminds me of what I was already taught. What about women? All women are what? Fill in the blanks. All women are daggers. All women are, now, not all women are controlling, right? Right?
Right.
No way. If you're not controlling, raise your hand. Not all women are bossy, right? If you're not bossy, raise your hand. Look, the point is these are generalizations. So if somebody tells you that all women are naggers or all women are bossy, then the first time your wife tries to tell you something that means you well, you will react negatively. See what I'm saying? All women that like nice things are gold diggers. If you think like that, then you will miss out on the gift that God had for you in life. You will miss out, because just because she likes nice things doesn't mean she's a gold digger, right? Generalizations, failing to distinguish, failing to discriminate, failing to go deep enough, failing to really get to know the person, and living with the generalizations, it ruins relationships. It ruins church houses, which takes me to the next one. All pastors are money hungry, especially if they mention money, right? Especially if they mention over the pulpit, heaven forbid they talk about it personally. All pastors are money hungry, so we get offended. Okay, I'm a pastor. I rarely talk about money, but if I happen to talk about money, do we immediately react based on the other pastor that was money hungry? Are you able to distinguish me from if I get my Mercedes or if I get my Rolls from the guy who got his Rolls by some nefarious way? Can you appreciate me trying to help you? When I tell you something that makes you uncomfortable and distinguish me from somebody who beat you over the head just because they had the power to, can you make the distinction? Can you discriminate? Are you going to ruin our opportunity to do something special because you were offended where you did not need to be? Can you discriminate? Discrimination is not a bad thing. It's when you discriminate superficially and broadly and categorically, as opposed to finding out what's special about me. I'm not just an African-American man. There's more to me than that. I'm not just a white young lady. There's more to me than that. And if you take your generalizations, your biases and prejudices, and plaster me with them, we can't make it. There's things we could have done together that we could never do, because you can't see past the superficial. There's opportunities we can't take advantage of because you are going to react to the first thing you see. What about young men? All these young folks in this generation, they're up to no good. They're up to no good. Now, heaven forbid they let their pants sag a little bit. Now they're really up to no good. Now, if they're young and their pants sag, now you know they're up to no good, right? Now, if they're young and black or brown and their pants sag, now you know they're ruined. Heaven forbid their mother or father bought them a jacket that has a hood on it and they choose to wear it, and they're black and their pants sag and they're young, now you know they're ruined. Now you know you better clutch your purse. Now you know you got to worry. That's if you're looking at the superficial things. How about getting to know them? finding out what qualities God put inside of them. That same person is going to grow up and be your doctor, and you're going to need them when they call code blue over you. Mm-hmm. At that point, all you're going to care about is the code blue, the color blue. You're not going to worry about the color of their skin or what kind of pants they wore when they were growing up, trying to fit in. But if you fail to discriminate, you will then harm them because you will react to the superficial one or two characteristics that you initially identify. Amen?
Amen.
I haven't gotten to your issues yet, I guess. How about the homeless? How about somebody that looks like they're homeless? They're not always homeless, by the way. The fact that they're dirty and they have their hands out, you make assumptions about them. Make assumptions about why they got that way, how they got that way, what they're going to do with the money if you give it. If you were more discriminating, that reminds me of my wife knows that when people are begging for money and then I go and I talk to them, I come back and she asks me, how much did you give them? I'll say $5 or I'll say 20. She say, woo, 20. My answer is always, well, it was a $5 story. If I say I gave them $20, she said, woo, they gave you a $20 story? That's how I do it, because I'm interested in them, and I give the amount of money that I believe is appropriate for the situation. What does that mean? I am being discriminating. Now, if I stopped at they're homeless, I'm just one more person, I'm not going to make a difference. They're going to be on this corner tomorrow anyway. They probably did something wrong in their life. That's how they ended up here. And so why should I subsidize their bad decisions? Superficial judgments. Amen?
Amen.
Am I helping somebody?
Amen.
How about an unwed mother? She's going around, the daddy's nowhere around, and she's got this baby. She just wanted to go in the county, right? She was just loose, right? She has bad judgment in men, right? Or maybe she just tricked him because she wanted to get pregnant because she needed some child to love her. All these things are possible. But how heartbreaking would it be for you to judge a young woman that's an unwed mother that way? For all you know, she was raped. For all you know, it was incest. You don't know. The point is, you ought to be more discriminating. You ought to be willing to go deeper. You ought to be willing to get to know somebody and find the reason to love and admire and respect them instead of that thing that you react to on the surface. If I were to go and get me a Bentley, I'd be a pastor with a Bentley. Uh-oh. But you don't know anything more about me. All you needed to know was one more thing, and you would have been fine with it, probably. Probably. I works hard for my money. I works at least as hard as anybody in here, okay? But you would judge me. You would assume some things. Why? Based on your bad experiences in the past or based on the societal biases, amen, that we have. Now, the last one I'll point out is rich people. We assume that if somebody rich, there's a whole lot of things we think about them. There's a whole lot of judgments that we have about them. We talked about this yesterday at the nursing home. The text yesterday was actually about the woman that gave the two mites. Amen?
Amen.
And the way we read that, we assume that Jesus is indicting the rich people who give a lot. And the fact that, basically they're rich and as if they're walking up saying, yes, I'm better than you. And actually, if anything, that story is an indictment on the poor. Meaning, not an indictment as in they're bad, but even if you have very little, it's not an excuse not to give. Mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't do the math the way we do. We look at the amount. Jesus looks at the percentage. How much of what you do have are you giving? Some of us have more money than time. Some have more time than money. If you got more time than money, how much of you are you giving to God? Huh? How much are you giving to God? You still have breath in your lungs. You can talk good, right? You have a good influencer. How are you using that ability and that capacity and that gift for God's glory?
Amen.
So the point is, the widow had very little, and she could have, just like we do, use it as an excuse not to give it all. Or I have so little, so I'll give very, very, very little. The widow didn't do that. As a representative of all folk who have very little, she chose rather to give all of what she had. Yet it's very easy. We point at the rich and say they ought to do this and they ought to do that with their money. Well, what are you doing with yours? You ought to be more discriminating. Amen?
Amen.
And if we did the math, that rich person that's getting judged, if we really did the math, the proportion of what they're giving in their much may be more than what you're giving out of your little. The woman with the two mites, guess what? She says, no, 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 no. Even if you have a little bit, God still expects of you. And the other thing that that story does is it allows you to know that when you are giving out of your little, God's paying attention. He didn't just notice the rich one who gave a lot. He noticed the widow who gave all that she had. And he acknowledged that. And he honored that. Amen?
Amen.
So real quickly, I'm doing okay on time. I'm going to be wrapping up in just a little bit, and my wife is happy. So why do we do this, though? Why do we do this superficial generalization? I'm just going to give you a few reasons why. And if you identify with it, great. And if so, pray your way out of it through the week. First of all, laziness and fear. It's easier and it's safer to hide behind the generalizations. Amen?
Amen?
So if you hide behind the generalizations, you never have the accountability of living up to the real thing, the real truth of the person. If not all men are dogs, if your husband is faithful, now you got to be right. Now you don't get the excuse to act up if he's on point. It's easier for us to hide behind the generalization. It's safer. Also, selfishness causes us to generalize this way because the status quo or the generalization works for us. It actually is something that works to our advantage. If the generalizations about people, individuals, or groups works for you, then you feed into it. You don't want to change that. You don't want to address the realities. Amen? You don't want to look past race. You don't want to look past gender. You don't want to look past sexual orientation. You don't want to look past youth. You don't want to look past the way somebody dresses. Why? Because it works for you. Since you dress a certain way, you have an advantage. So you don't want to look past that. You don't want to really get to know the individual. You don't really want to judge somebody based on the content of their character. Let's just judge the superficial. Amen? Well, the other reason is you might lack intelligence. If you ever look at an IQ test, one of the key distinctions about it or components of it is actually the ability to differentiate which one doesn't belong. You ever heard of that? That's one of the key components of an IQ test, your ability to look at two things that have similarities and yet differences and know which one doesn't belong. The ability to walk into a crowd of people who might have all their pants sagging down and know which one can make a major difference in the world, which one means well, which one is trying to calm the crowd as opposed to incite the crowd. Now, you get an out if you have PTSD. You have an out if you have a traumatic event in your life. And so then any certain kind of stimulus might cause you to react in a way that you can't help it. You get an out. If you have autism or any kind of those sorts of spectrum of disorders where you don't really get the nuances of facial expression, if I'm smiling and I'm doing this, you're not threatened. But if I'm scowling and doing this, now you're threatened. They don't understand the differences. They get an out. But if you don't have these disabilities, guess what? It's on you if you generalize. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's quickly go through Mark chapter 12. Now, we're going to be looking at verses 28 through 34, and we're going to see Jesus' example, because what I've been telling you, even though I didn't take it from the Bible, it is biblical. Now, it may sound weird to say that discrimination is biblical, but the ability to discriminate and the willingness to discriminate and the power to be discriminating is biblical. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only way you can deal with people on their own merits. So let's look at verses 28 through 34. Now, as we come to this point, Jesus is dealing with a bunch of stimuli. He's dealing with a bunch of people. He's dealt with the Pharisees and the Herodians, telling him, should we pay tribute to the Romans, trying to get him in trouble. What does Jesus say? He says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto God what is God's. He did not fall for the okey-doke. And then the Sadducees came at him. Now, he's already got the Pharisees. He's already got the Herodians. Now, the Sadducees come up who do not believe in the resurrection. So they say, this woman, she's married to this man, and he dies. So the brother marries her, and he dies. So the next brother marries her, and he dies. And all seven of them marry her, and they all die. In the resurrection, which one will be married to her? Trying to get Jesus to fall into a trap. Basically saying there really is no resurrection. Well, Jesus says, well, in the resurrection, there will be no marrying or giving in marriage. There will be all just like angels. Amen? The point here is that he's got the Pharisees, he's got the Herodians who were loyal to the Romans, and now he's got the Sadducees. There ain't anything left but the scribes. There's nothing left. He's got it coming at him from all sides. So let's look at verse 28 through 34 very quickly. It reads as such. And one of the scribes came at him, and having heard him reasoning together, meaning arguing or debating, and perceiving that he had answered them well, they asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Meaning the most important commandment of all, right? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Does that sound familiar? That's the same subject matter that Jesus was challenged with from the lawyer in the audience, where the next thing he said was, okay, well, who is my neighbor then? Who is my neighbor? This is where Jesus came with the parable about the Good Samaritan. So they agreed on the two commandments, the two key things that you should live by, but then he's going to be smart trying to come at Jesus that way, and he says, well, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus has dealt with the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and now he's getting dealt with this way, by the scribe. Now, he's already dealt with the scribe that's come at him this way. How might you think that Jesus will react? How do you think he will react to this scribe coming at him the same way this other lawyer or scribe came at him, and having been attacked by Pharisees, having been attacked by Herodians and the Sadducees? Well, we might imagine what we would do in the heat of the moment. Amen? Yeah. But let's go ahead and see what really happened. It says in verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, I want you to pay attention. Jesus is not going to have a knee-jerk reaction. He's not going to generalize, because he's not saying that all scribes are terrible. Even though these folks are attacking him and coming at him, in the heat of the moment, he has the ability to listen and to discriminate and to see what this scribe is all about. Amen? Amen. And so what Jesus is listening to is this last part in particular. He says, it is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. If you understand what a whole burnt offering is about, this is one where you don't get any of it. The giver does not get any of it. It is all given to God. These are special burnt offerings. And so for a scribe to say that these characteristics, these things that go to the core of the heart of God, are more important than even a whole burnt offering, tells you he gets it. This is how Jesus can tell that this scribe is not the same as the other scribes that walk around trying to be the big man on campus. Amen? And so verse 34, and so when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, intelligently, in other words, thoughtfully, in other words, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And then the Bible says after that, nobody would come step to Jesus the wrong way after that. Why did I take you through this? It's very easy to read all these stories and not catch this point. It's not just about the details. If you step back, you see that Jesus was surrounded. If you look at the first thing that we read, you know he has this opinion and knowledge and awareness and judgment of this, of the scribes. And yet, knowing that about the majority of them, it did not prevent him from properly discriminating what the truth was about an individual scribe. My point here is that even with the odds against our Lord, he was a great example for us in terms of not discriminating. Amen? Not discriminating in a harmful way. Now, I wrestled with the Lord over delivering this message as I sometimes do, because I don't know why he would want to present this. I know the value of it, but I know that this is the kind of message that will make you think, it'll hit you later. It's not going to touch your flesh. It's not going to have your emotions all flowing like last week, but this is something that God wants you to know. Your life is messed up. Your relationships are messed up. This relationship is messed up because you're painting this man, this woman, this situation based on past experiences. It doesn't mean you shouldn't learn from your experiences. But don't judge so quickly. Don't judge so superficially. Don't ruin your life and your relationships based on the past. It's not just forgiving you got to do. Sometimes you've got to stop and make that person worth your attention. Worth your discriminating, worth your getting to know. Because otherwise, you're going to have what you consider lessons from the past ruin your future. Amen?